and award-winning American beers featuring Michael Landis, National Training and Merchandising Manager for Anko Fine Cheese, sponsored by the American Cheese Society. Good evening, everyone. I'm Carolyn Smigalski, the Beer Fox, editor of Beer and Brewing at Vela Online. I'm here on behalf of the Brewers Association, the trade association for craft brewers nationwide. The Brewers Association sponsors the Great American Beer Festival, the World Beer Cup, and Savor, an American craft beer and food experience that's held in Washington, D.C. This is the 30th annual Great American Beer Festival, and it's sold out in just 1 week. And this is the Beer and Food Pavilion. With over 25 years of experience, our guests this afternoon conducted wine, beer, food, and cheese pairing classes at cooking schools, vineyards, breweries, and distributors throughout the country. Using one of the largest imported cheese portfolios in the United States, he has traveled the globe talking about the complex world of cheese and has written on the subject in several national foodie publications. He participated as a world cheese judge for the 2010 World Cheese Awards in Birmingham, England, and at the International Cheese Awards in July 2011 in Nantwich, England, and here pairing award-winning cheeses with award-winning beers, I'm pleased to introduce from Anko Fine Cheese and American Cheese Society, Michael Landis.
Thank you very much. This is very exciting for me. This is like home. I cut my teeth on beer, beverages. That's my background. I have about 25 years of experience in the brewing industry and selling beer. One of my favorite things to do, obviously, is eating and drinking. So, exactly. And I'm very fortunate that I actually get paid to eat and drink every day. As you can tell, I'm a very dedicated employee. I work very hard at being able to find really fun stuff to try, pair up. But most important is learning. And that's what you're here today for, is to learn a little bit about why cheese and beer work so well together. When you think about it, a lot of times I get asked, Michael, why beer? Why not wine? Wine is so more exotic. Well, you know, when you think about wine and fruit, yeah, you know, you can get some good pairings there, but they're not as good as when you look at beer, where beer is what? Liquid bread. So the bread flavors, those things really work very well with a lot of the flavors of the cheeses. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at five award-winning beers, pair them up to work together in a very harmonious way. Now, for some of you, the idea here is that you gotta like it. I mean, I'm gonna be serving several beers, and I have no fear that you're all gonna love the beers. But we're gonna step out on the cheeses, and as a cheese trainer, one of my biggest troubles that I have is in getting everybody used to tasting the cheeses, because some of these are going to be a little bit more robust than others. Now, there is a technique that we all use when trying different cheeses or trying different foods, and that is the three bite method. And I'm going to suggest that if you find that one of the cheeses seems to be a little robust for you, then this would be a really good way of being able to taking a second bite. So, well, I'm going to walk you through this as we go through here. So again,
I'm having trouble hearing you up there. Can I switch to my handout? Let me go out first. Right.
Is that better? Oh, man, it was killing me. All right, so, all right, I'm going to start all over. No, I'm kidding. All right, so, again, our idea here is that we're going to be working with some great beers. What we're working with is Shepherd's Way Farms Fiago. Amazing sheep's milk cheese. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to give you a broad spectrum. So we're going to taste sheep's milk. We're going to taste goat's milk. We're going to take cow and goat and cow and cow again. So we're going to get a wide variety of flavors. But what you're going to find out is it doesn't matter what milk it is because it's all going to work out in the beers. So the next one is going to be Sellers of Jasper Hill, and that is a Cabot cheddar. Now, that is a real unique cheddar of aged, and also it is a bandage wrap, which gives it a very unique, intense flavor. We're going to pair up the Vermont Butter and Cheese Cremant with Brooklyn Brewery. This will be the Brewery Local Number 1 Ale. And then, of course, Cypress Grove Humboldt Fog with Rogue Shakespeare Spout. And then we'll look at the Caves of Faribault, and that'll be with the St. Arnold Oktoberfest. On your plate are five cheeses. If you look at there, on the left-hand side, is number one is the Shepherd's Way. Number two is the Cabot's. Number three is the Vermont. Number four is Cypress Grove. And number five is the Caves of Faribault. So that's the sequence in which we'll be tasting them. Let's get on our way. I want to talk a little bit about the first cheese. So let's go ahead and try this. This is from Shepherd's Way. And this is a very rich cheese. But one of the things about this is the cheeses and cheesemakers are so close together. I mean, when you think about the, this is all done on the farm. This was created, this is literally the first cheese that they created. This is 100% sheep's milk. Sheep's milk is actually sweeter than cow's milk. So it has a nice, rich, soft flavor to it. It has some butteriness, but also notice the nuttiness. That nuttiness is what's going to play really well with our pairing. Now, again, this is a rich, sweet milk that's produced on the farm. This creates, again, a very, very nice, simple, easy pairing. We're going to pair this up with the Full Sail Amber. And this is a winner of 14 Great American Awards. It is originally started in 1989. It was the first amber that they produced. And it was amazing as it seems, one of the first ambers bottled in Oregon. So very, very unique in that. And what we're looking at here in the pairing notes is that the beer brings out a nice, subtle, buttery flavor. That's what we're trying to do here. When you think about it, we really only have one ingredient. We have milk. So with milk, we really have to, you know, work on a couple traditional flavors. The traditional flavors are going to be butter and cream, because that's really what you're going to get out of that flavor style. But as we age these, and you notice a little bit of the butteriness, a little bit of the nuttiness, and of course, when we take the amber, we get a nice sweetness out of that, get a little bit of a hint of malt, which brings out a real sweet flavor. And then when you put the two together, it really brings out each. The nuttiness of the cheese comes out a little stronger. Again, this is a very mild cheese. You can't overpower it. This is not a big guy that you'd sit here and throw a very strong beer with. This is essentially a very mild cheese. So we had to pair it with something that had a really nice balance, but wasn't going to overwhelm it. You know, when you're doing this at home, in the safety of your own home, it's important to remember that the pairings can be very versatile. We were at the booth last night at the American Cheese Society booth, and we were pouring pitchers. Well, we were kind of giving a wide variety of flavors and different types of pairings by changing up the different beers. You're going to get a little bit more intensity. In other words, if we were to change out the beer with something a little bit more robust, it's going to directly affect the flavors of the cheese, especially something that's as mild as this. So what do you think? This works? Nice. Again, they shouldn't be overly complicated. These are very simple things. You're thinking about this as a bread, you know, as a bread with a little bit of nuttiness to it. So that creates a really nice flavor profile for the two together. The next pairing that we're going to have, as a matter of fact, they're pouring out the Alaskan smoked porter. And the next cheese is going to be a cheddar. Everybody's favorite is a cheddar. But one thing you're going to notice right away from this cheddar is it's not like your typical packaged cheddar. First off, it's crumbly. Next that you're going to notice is that it's grainy. It has this tremendous amount of graininess to it, in addition to a little bit of sweetness. Now, this sweetness comes across as the butter. So we get a lot of butter out of this, but you notice that it's tangy. Not only do we have a little bit of tangy, but what I want you to think about on this, is this tangy, sour cream tangy, like a sour, or is it more like a lemon, a citrus? Because that is going to drastically affect the flavors of the cheese and the beer pairing. So when you're working with cheddars, essentially you're going to get two primary flavors. Well, three, but you're always going to get a butter. That's just a characteristic of the cheese. Next, what you're going to get is a really nice tanginess. Now, the tanginess can be sour cream or it can be lemon. So the citrus, milk, those two things will influence the flavors. And so is Jasper Hill. They actually started cellaring this a few years back as a project, and now they do this full time. They've actually got a $3 million grant or loan to be able to increase the size of their affinage. And so their affinage creates a real unique flavor in this cheese. Cabot makes it, Jasper Hill ages it to create a really intense flavor. So we're going to pair this up with something kind of unusual, and that is a smoked porter. Now, when I was originally setting this up, we had a conversation about the sequence of the beers. You know, everybody said, okay, well, what we're going to do, what you should do is start off with the mildest and work our way to the most intense. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't work that way in cheese. You can't change that around because the cheeses are going to do something different on you. So what you have to do is you have to really work with something that's a little bit more on a what they're going to do with each other. And we look at this, and this smoked porter is one of the highest award-winning cheese or beers in the Great American Beer Awards. They have won more than any other beer in the history of the competition. And this started out back in 1988 when they first started producing this. Jeff and Marcy produce an incredibly rich porter, and then they smoke it at a commercial smokery over Alderwood. And the Alderwood is really what gives it that nice sweetness. It's not overpowering smoky, you know, because again, if it was, what would happen to the cheddar? We'd lose the cheddar. We don't want to lose the cheddar. We don't want to do that. So what I have to ask you is, what happens when you put these two together? What are you getting? Is it mellowing out, or is it increasing the flavors of the cheese? You're getting both. You get a really intense flavor. And that's what's really fun about this, is that when you really get a nice pairing, you can take something not so common, like a smoked porter, and pair it up with something like a cheddar. But again, you're looking at a cheddar that's been aged in a cave and bandage wrapped. That gives it a lot of advantages. It's not going to be something that you find off the shelf. One of the things that I get asked all the time is, Michael, where can I find these cheeses? Well, most often you're going to find these at Whole Foods. Not all these cheeses, they don't make billions of pounds. These are not made out of blocks. You'll see one of the cheeses is very small. It's less than 3 inches in diameter. So to be able to make enough, you know how hard those little animals work for you? Oh my God, we had these goats working overtime, and I'm telling you, they were angry. All right, but we managed to get enough for the show here. All right, so again, we get a really nice, pleasant, sharp finish. It has a nice balance between the two. And again, we really don't want to do too much power on this. It's got to be nice, it's got to be easy, and it needs to have a nice balance between the two. The next cheese is a Vermont butter and cheese creamery double creme Cremant, and this is paired up with the Brooklyn number one ale. Now, Vermont butter and cheese creamery has a really great history, as do a lot of the Vermont producers of cheese. Now, Vermont is traditionally known for cow's milk, but also it has a very, very strong goat's milk ability. There's a tremendous amount of farms that are coming up there, and they're really considered to be one of the highest levels of artisan cheese is Vermont. A little bit of trivia, prior to World War II, Vermont produced more potatoes than Idaho, just so if you didn't know that. It was the number one producer. So the ground and the soil is really rich. It produces really rich, unique grass that feeds for feeding the animals. And that's where the cheddar comes from, and that's where this one comes from. Now, what's interesting is that this is a combination. And as you can see in the intensity, we've done sheep's milk, which is mild. And again, sheep's milk is sweeter than cow's milk. We moved to cow's milk. Now we're going to do a cow's milk with a little bit of goat's milk, and we're going to kick in just a little bit of cream. And the reason why they call this Cremant, it's made in Vermont with cream, so why not? Cremant. Cream, Vermont. So, cream of Vermont. And again, having a combination of the two flavors, that rind is completely edible. I'm looking out at you right now and seeing that you're looking a little afraid. Don't be afraid of the cheese, okay? It's all right, you know, that's the way they are. They're made that. What the rind is going to do for you is it's going to add a really nice amount of intensity of flavors. And the idea here is that that rind, which is, by the way, mold, which is good mold, that creates an intense earthiness. So the earthiness, the cow's milk, which adds the buttery flavor, and then we get a nice tanginess, right? A nice tang from the goat's milk. So you get a little bit of a snap to it. It's stronger than the last cheese. Well, yeah, that's the point. You know, in other words, we don't make this because we want to have a mild a cheese. Think about it. It'd be like all you ever made was a Miller Lite. We'd all be pretty sad. So the idea here is that we create cheeses that do the exact same thing as your beers do. What is it that we want to bring to you? We want to bring some power. We want to bring some interest, some intensity of the flavor. And we paired this up with Brooklyn Brewery's number one ale. Now, one thing that you got to give the New Yorkers, and especially Brooklyn, about is their fortitude. So this has a tremendous amount of history, not only in they've had some original beer making here. This isn't like the first shot at it. They've been making beer way, way before the Prohibition. As a matter of fact, as you guys all know, that the Prohibition shut down a tremendous amount of great craft beers. And also, you know, they did a big change. When they came back, a lot of the bigger companies took over. Well, the company that was originally at the facility shut their doors about 1978. Now, they retooled up and started making the Brooklyn ales. Now, this is their number one ale. This is a newer version, and it's one of their award-winning beers. So let's go ahead and try this with the cheese. Now, you would think, first off, that here we have all this goat milk, all this tanginess, that we're going to be what? Just screaming. But notice the flavors on how it tones it down. We pick up some richness to it. We get rid of some of that tanginess, and we really let this ale come and bring up the flavors. Again, it's not supposed to be overpowering. It's just get a really nice balance of the two. Are you getting that nice balance there? Getting the flavors between the two? Now, you know, again, if we would have taken something like the smoked porter with this, or that amber ale, it would be a completely different experience. And a lot of times, they do nothing.
I've done a lot of pairings where thinking that you would have the really nice malty flavors of a particular beer, then all of a sudden it completely washes out the cheese. So yeah, this is a very subtle cheese. Even though if you find it a little bit more tangier, it also at the same time, you get a really nice richness in the flavor profiles between both of those. One of my favorite pairings is coming up right now, and this is with Cypress Grove Humboldt Fog and with the Rogue Shakespeare Stout. Both of these are an American original. When you think about it, Humboldt Fog is a 100% goat's milk cheese. Exactly. And one of the things about this is that this is a washed rind cheese. A bloomy rind cheese, which creates a really interesting flavor. Now, when you look at this, you'll notice that there's an ash streak between the middle. That is a vegetable ash. It's a sanitized vegetable ash. And what it does is it separates the milkings. So they're able to do multiple milkings with this. So you have a morning milk or an evening milk, or you just have two batches, which allows them to be able to separate the two. You notice that there's a separation on the edge. Notice that there's a buttery look right on that edge where it's changing from a really lactic, tangy cheese into a really rich and creamy cheese. However, it's goat's milk, so it's going to have a fair amount of earthiness to it. Not only that, but it's also going to have an herbal quality. Well, why does goat's milk have herbal quality? Well, what do they eat? Well, it's not tin cans, honestly. I know a lot of people think that that's it, but no, they are very, very particular eaters. They will, they really love herbs. They really love the sweet grasses. So that's really, again, what's going to bring to you a lot of these wonderful flavors of the cheeses and of that milk. And Humboldt Fog, this is well known. You find this just about anywhere in the United States because of its uniqueness. Now, I decided to pair this up with the Rogue Shakespeare Stout. This is one of the most awarded cheeses in America. And again, when we look at the Humboldt Fog, has won almost every single year. And it was interesting is that I was in Birmingham, England last fall as a judge for the World Cheese Awards. And we had 2,612 cheeses. And as I was walking by one of the tables, I noticed something very familiar, and it was the Humboldt Fog. And at the World, at the International Cheese Awards and the World Cheese Awards, both of it, they won a gold medal. I was just in England for the International. We had 3,717 cheeses judged, and I personally did 92. So, let's look at the Rogue Shakespeare Stout. Why Shakespeare Stout? Well, there's a couple things. First off, John Mayer is a bit of a rogue himself. He created this stout with a little bit more chocolatey flavor, a little bit of espresso in there, so it gives you a really rich but somewhat more robust flavor. Now, in this, we also look at Shakespeare. Shakespeare on himself was a rogue, and where they originally brewed this, the first creation was created in the town where they have the International or the original Shakespeare Festival. So it was just a natural to create that type of beer. We get a lot of butter out of this cheese when we pair it up with the stout. The stout keeps the flavors, the malty, chocolate, espresso, but look what it does to that tangy goat cheese. The tangy goat cheese doesn't stay goat as much now. We really bring out a nice butteriness. It's almost like butter mocha, chocolate espresso going on as almost a dessert. Because originally I thought about serving this as a dessert because, again, it has that nice sweetness to it. It has a nice bit of power, but also they blend real well together. You're not looking at something that is so far right or so far left, but when you think about an oatmeal stout with a goat cheese, you know, it just doesn't seem common. And that is one of our goals here, is to create an uncommon pairing. And that's what's so great about beers. Trying to pair this up with a wine, not going to work as well. Why? Because you got all this butter, the bread, the malt, the chocolate. Wahoo, huh? That's what it's about. All these flavors that come together that have that symmetry together. You can't get that anywhere else. You have to really get that from a beer. But we're very lucky that we can get it from such a great beer of Shakespeare Stout. Our last and final tasting, before we go to some questions and answers here, is the most robust, the biggest, the most challenging of all of these tonight. And I really didn't want to leave you with a little wimpy goodbye. I wanted to give you an impact to remember for the rest of your life. And I hope that right now I am going to change your life forever about blue cheese. Because this is one of the most awarded blue cheese in the history of America. Jeff Jurek creates this Emma Blue that's aged for over 100 days in the sandstone caves of the Faribault Caves in Minnesota. Now, this really cool is that the type of sandstone that it's actually aged in is called Emma Blue. So how appropriate is that this is a blue cheese in Emma Blue. But it didn't start off as a cheese-making cave. It actually started off as a brewery. Woohoo! I mean, seriously. I mean, how much symmetry can you possibly have is to start off that way? It was also very popular because these caves were right on the water, so they did a lot of smuggling during Prohibition. But this is a 100% rich milk, GMO-free, and it is a true American classic. And we're pairing it up with something that is a little right wing, and that takes us to St. Arnold. One of my favorite breweries in the world, the oldest microbrew in Texas, and they're located in Houston. Now, I went through a nice round. I was kind of hoping to have something really kind of wacky kooky up here because they do a wonderful weed whacker that I thought was going to be absolutely fabulous. But you know what? If it doesn't work with the pairing, it doesn't work with the pairing. But the Oktoberfest did. But one of the things that I found out about it was that it's not a traditional Oktoberfest because they created this with the idea of using their ale. So it started off a little differently. Amazing, isn't it? Rich, buttery. That's what blue cheese is all about. Now we pair it up with this with what? Malt, right? Some sweet malt in there. We get a nice little bit of that ale thing going on. And of course, what's better than adding a little bit more higher alcohol content? Woohoo! So we're finishing with more alcohol, a stronger cheese, and a big beer. So that's what I really wanted to show you today, was to give you some variety from the simple, easy flavors. The Shepherd's Way Frisago, a really nice sheep's milk cheese, well blended, soft, and remember that sheep's milk is sweeter than cow's milk. We also have the Cellars of Jasper Hill, the Cabot, another award-winning cheese that goes really well and amazingly with the Alaskan smoked porter. And keep in mind with the smoked porter that they've been serving the 2000, in which is amazing. Think about that. That is a 11-year-old smoked porter that they're pouring. So pretty amazing from the get-go. As a matter of fact, we poured you the 2008. So we got a couple years on this one also, But again, it has that richness, so you can cellar it. And again, not on all the beers that you know we can. We also have the Vermont Butter Creamery Cremant, and the Brooklyn Brewery. So those two went real well together. Cypress Grove, Humboldt Fog. An American classic with a classic stout, working with a little bit of I'm a little to the right or left. And then we finished it off with the Caves of Faribault and the St. Arnold Oktoberfest. So hopefully you learned a little bit with that. You had fun. Did you enjoy the pairings? All right. Well, it's certainly been a pleasure coming out here today. And again, it's been such a great experience being with everybody. And I'll be right here for some questions, answers. Be safe out there and enjoy yourself. Thank you so much.
We want to thank Michael Landis and the American Cheese Society, our volunteers who have been serving you, and our AV artist, Patrick, and all of you for coming to this podcast. Of these presentations are available at craftbeer.com. The ones from the 2011 Great American Beer Festival will be online in about 2 weeks. And check out craftbeer.com. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you tonight.